J10, number 10A.
All right, so we go on and we can see then that after turning the tape I was mentioning, we have under principal, I said the right to be under complete cooperation with principal. We have the right to have spiritual power. We have the right to let principal interpret the universe. We have the right to claim our inseparable oneness with the principal. We have the right to be self-governed by reflection. We have the right under the government of principle alone. We have the right to be freed from the belief of anthropomorphism and to be free from personal interference. It's wonderful, isn't it? Man governed by his maker is self-governed. Well, we have that, the continuation of the exercise in Kapler's book, Christian Government, and I just wanted to show you how wonderful it is when we learn the ideas of the synonymous terms, how we have these exercises that we can do. Now, we want to go on and just show tonality for the subject that is near to my heart. I'm sure it's near to yours too. Is how to see then how this language of the deep structure of God and the ideas as they are defined in the textbook constitute then a language in a, that is eternal and timeless. And therefore this language is such that it demands a terminology that is always evolving. We need not leave the language in the terminology of the Bible. We know which talked in terms of water and firmament and dry land and trees and animals and dragons and angels. This just doesn't work in a scientific age. We see then that the language of spirit needs the exact terminology, and the terminology must be in the philosophical framework of the day. And the philosophical framework of the day is the Einsteinian worldview in the world. We know we have come now from a Newtonian, mechanistic, dualistic, mechanical, where the whole is equal to the sum of its parts world, into an Einsteinian, multidimensional, transclassical logic, where the whole is greater than the sum of its part, really into a world of many, many dimensions beyond just the third dimension, alluded to by Mrs. Eddy's fourth dimension of spirit. And within that are many, many dimensions of being, spiritual being. So the terminology that we use today has to be a terminology that speaks out from wholeness, from the gestalt, from the infinite whole being. And so, therefore, it is a language that is adapted to speaking always out from a divinely cybernetic terminology, and therefore when we choose our terms, we want to choose those terms. Again, everything we do is in exact way. It isn't just haphazard. So as Mrs. Eddy chose her terminology, she chose it always adapted to the age. So what we have already seen then, that this is the age of divine cybernetics. This is the age of the 7,000 year period as symbolized by the model of being, a model of how the universal laws operate themselves always as a self-organizing, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting, mistake-friendly system through running on an immaterial feedback. So we now know that principle God operates by itself. It operates holistically as a whole. It operates dimensionally as a whole, which appears simultaneously on different levels in different forms, yet still remains a whole. It operates teleologically as a whole shaped by the purpose of the whole, where its goal causality, the future is now, the cause determines the present rather than the past determines the present, the future determines the present. So it's a goal causality. The end is known from the very beginning, and it's a wholeness causality system. Therefore, we saw that Max defined in his book Genesis that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. We know that. And a whole is a whole by virtue of the relationship that binds all the elements or aspects of that whole into one coherent unity. Then we know and we loved in Merriam-Webster the definition of holism that the philosophic theory first formulated by Jan C. Smuts, that the determining factor in nature are wholes, which are irreducible to the sum of their parts, and that evolution of the universe is a record of the activity and making of these wholes. So we want to see then that holism is always going out from the whole and seeing how that whole infinitely individualizes itself and adapts it to itself in a specific situation, yet still remains the whole. And so the words and terminology that we use today have to reflect wholeness, system, structure, dimensionalism, cybernetics, these kind of words, you see, not just choosing any. And Max also has quoted to us in that wonderful class he gave on the structure of being and its universal laws in 1987, of which tapes are readily available. He said that Dorley said that we have got to demonstrate a terminology which the world will understand. And he said, Dorley said, if we don't, we shall fail. Let's be citizens of the world, be stewards, and also, he says, of the world. He said, Dorley said, we'd be stupid if we want and insist that people must have science in the terminology which we like. We must use the idiom which men are now accustomed to. With the mind of Christ, we are able to translate our message to every plane of thought. That's pretty strong language on Dorley's part, saying we can, if we stay within the tonality of mind, in the tonality of spirit, in the tonality of soul, principle, life, truth, and love, we can forge these new conceptual tools and see the world differently. Indeed, it might be different. And this Roger Penrose, who recently, Sir Roger Penrose was at the University of Washington giving a lecture, and I was lucky enough to see his series on television from that lecture. He also shows that the consciousness bait may now need categorizations and terminology, he says, contending that even words like materialism are quickly losing their meaning. And he is one of these leading scientists, and today, well, he was knighted as a Sir Roger Penrose, very active in the field of physics today. See, he even sees these terms like materialism are obsolete. New terms have to be forged. So let's see if we can just, as an exercise for a few moments, it's only method that's important. It's not getting all of the answers. Let's see if we can take, for example, mind and see if we have for mind other ideas that we could use under mind in the new terminology under the holistic view today that could be okay at mind that isn't appearing right now on our list of ideas but has a connotation of the age of divine cybernetics and the connotation of wholeness, dimensionalism. What could we perhaps use as an idea under mind? All right. I think the unified field theory is certainly, seems to me a little bit bigger than just mind, but it's certainly, it's mind's idea. A lot of these terms can be, are, meaning is relational. They can be in a category if we know what we mean by it. All right. Good. As a pattern of mind. Very good. So therefore, Louisa was saying that mind, if we can see that mind creates its idea, and its idea is a pattern of reality, and therefore, yes, that mind creates an idea, and that idea exists as a pattern in mind, definitely. Mm-hmm. Good.
You can use the super strings of God.
All right. Perhaps then the superstrings. That's such a big theory of dimensionality. It could perhaps go much more into maybe principle or... All right, here we go. We just had to stop for a moment and let the lawnmower go by, which is always fun, isn't it? Gives the spirit of where we are giving our conference here at Cazenovia College, which is such a beautiful setting. All right, so while the tape was off, we were amongst ourselves talking, and as we brought up together, we could talk about the information highway, definitely, and that's what I anticipated would also be my contribution to mind, because mind has to do with information. And I think a good place to turn for this is Jeremy Campbell's book on grammatical man. He certainly is the one that talks about information theory, gives a whole history of information theory. It's just a real excellent, excellent basic book for us in relationship to the information highway and where the foundation for information theory comes from. But in there, in discussing such a theory, Jeremy Campbell says, he says that there's the open question, what is it really what do the codes used for sending messages back from spacecraft have in common with genes on the molecule of DNA? How is it that the second law of thermodynamics, a physicist's discovery, is related to communication so that we can speak of the entropy of a musical score or a page of a text or of a conversation? Why are knotty problems in mathematical theory of probability connected with the way we express ourselves in speech and writing? Answer. The answer to all these questions is information. And the very fact that a single concept can link so many diverse ideas is an indication of its great generality and power. I hesitated there and I said information, huh? Information is something that informs. It causes, gives something form, doesn't it? All right, then Campbell goes on and says on page 15 in Grammatical Man, in most familiar sense today, this would be the everyday pedestrian sense, information is news, intelligence, facts, and ideas that are acquired and passed on as knowledge. But even, because he was pretty hot on giving history of things, Campbell says, but in medieval times, a word was used also as a more active, constructive meaning. Information is, and still now today in its newer meaning, something which gives a certain form or character to matter or to mind, a force which shapes conduct, traits, instructs, or guides. So we see then information is a force which gives shapes. It not only shapes, it conducts, it trains, it instructs, or guides. It is quite a new commodity that we are, it's not a new commodity, but let's say it's a commodity certainly that is being tapped into today. Campbell in 16 says, evidently nature can no longer be seen as matter and energy alone, nor can all her secrets be unlocked with the keys of chemistry and physics, brilliantly successful as these two branches of science have been in our century. A third component is needed for any explanation of the world that claims to be complete. To the powerful theories of chemistry and physics must be added a late arrival, the theory of information. Nature must be interpreted as matter, energy, and information. And then he shows a definition for information in by Norbert Wiener, really the one who coined the terminology cybernetics again and used it again today from the Greeks and brought it into the new age of divine, into cybernetics. He says, information is information. It's not matter or energy. And then a philosopher has said, information is information. It's not dependent on mentality or subjectivity. Information is something itself. It's a stuff itself. It's a commodity itself. It's a substance itself. It's not matter. It's not energy, but it's very substantial. And we saw that already when we talked about Willis Harmis saying that economics is based on today reality values. And Vaclav Havel asking for the basis of all political systems to be based on values, and that the hard currency of today are values. Information. Information is the currency of today, not money. If we have information, that's worth more than money. Money is just stuff. What does it do? Buy things. But information is what is the creative substance that makes the world go forward. Without that, we have nothing. It's of greater value. Naturally, if one has information, one can be rewarded through money. But information is much, much more valuable. And as we see then, the information highway is built on information alone. What would the world do without information? We think of it as a commodity, don't we? As a substance. Well, it's wonderful, because that's exactly what they see today, and we love it. Now, and this is something I have done, it's not in the study aid. I just took the study aid and structured the word information according to the dimensions as I saw it at the time. And we just did it with the ideas of mind. So I just took information and said, well, perhaps, and this can all, it's not in cement, we could always change it a bit or polish it, but it's a way of working. Just because information is an idea of mind and a quality of mind, you could say, well, information, you can structure it dimensionally. Information as itself, information being its own information, is its own primordial conception. It's its own message. It's its own signal. It's its own code. It's its own word. It's its own logos. Then what is information to the universe? Information therefore appears as law. Its law is that which informs, doesn't it? The universe. And therefore, what is information to the calculus of ideas, to the realm of ideas? Information comes as a creative impulse. Information forms, information shapes, information fashions, information models. What impact does it come to the human? It guides, it leads, it directs, it instructs, it informs. And what does it resolve in the human if there's any resistance? It appears as it controls and regulates and corrects. And therefore, if the human lets it in, what attitude does it bring forth? It patterns thoughts, doesn't it? It creates logical thinking. We couldn't work with logical thinking without information. It brings true knowledge. It makes us law-abiding. How does information appear if it's not understood as noise? They talk about a noise factor. If we don't understand information, it's like static. That static or chaos is just a higher order not understood. That we have to tune into it. If we tune into the frequency, it will no longer be static, it will be information. So it is a great commodity, and it's a quality of mind itself. All right. Now, how about spirit? What perhaps could be a term we could use under spirit? Just enjoying the sense of it. Naturally, again, what we say may be right, or it may eventually say we would see it in another category. But thinking of spirit having to do with the order of spirit, the evolution of spirit, the development of spirit, the purity of spirit, the one value logic of spirit, what may be our new cybernetic holistic terminology that we would like under spirit? If mind has to do with the information theory, information highway, what would spirit have to do with today in another terminology? Well, they talk about coming into a higher order, don't they? Into greater and greater complexity. That's what Ilya Prigogine says, that we come out of chaos into a higher order. So we would just say, well, we are dealing with an evolution of negentropy that goes against entropy. that goes against entropy is where systems restructure and come together until finally they reach a state of normality, heat death, and equilibrium. But we see then that really the system is moving much more towards not entropy, but spirit says it evolves, and evolves towards a higher complexity. And therefore the higher complexity of diversification, classification, and individualization. That higher order is just higher complexity. And therefore chaos is just not seeing the higher order, the higher complexity. Well, the spirit lets us talk about that higher complexity. That's talked about today, isn't it? That's a tone of spirit we hear. And what about soul in the language of cybernetics or information theory today in the information highway? Soul is what? The identity principle, isn't it? And that identity principle is always where subject and object is one. And we see that the subject is the divine mind and the object is its idea spirit. So the subject is mind and its ideational holographic universe is spirit. So the identity is where subject and object is one. So mind in its ideational holographic universe is one, isn't it? So it's the identity principle. And therefore that identity principle is running on a standpoint of change. It's a science that governs changes. It always changes. That identity principle is governed by the science that governs changes, Mrs. Eddy says. And we have the term homeorasy that Max has always enjoyed bringing to us and explaining. H-O-M-E-O-R-H-E-S-E. H-O-M-E-O-R-H-E-S-E. Homeorasy is really showing that change happens, but there always is stability in ever-going change. And along with homeorasy, he said, when we talk about systems that are in balance and stability, that go towards a state of equilibrium, that term would be homeostasis. H-O-M-E-O-S-T-A-S-I-S means balance or equilibrium. Or if we come to principle, what perhaps could we work with principle? We could see that that principle is a self-organizing, self-regulating a principle that certainly is a cybernetic terminology, a self-organizing system, which is self-regulating through an error-preventing, error-correcting, immaterial feedback system. We could say that, couldn't we?
Self-synchronizing.
Yeah, it self-synchronizes itself. Yeah, yes, because the identity principle is mind, spirit, and soul. And soul certainly is symmetry, and itself synchronizes itself. It's a self-symmetry system, a self-similarity system. And so it's a soul principle tone, isn't it? That identity through the self-regulation of principle is self-synchronizing itself. How about that term of synergy? It's a synergistic principle, isn't it? Where in Max's Oneness book, he talks about, on page 175, he talks about the synergy principle. It states that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And the word synergy comes from two Greek words meaning sin, together, and ergon, work, and meaning working together. I think that's what you mean, Louisa, by the term synchronizing. Yeah, it's a synergy synchronizing principle. It's working together. Thus, the whole is constituted of the sum of its parts plus the relationships amongst those parts as they work together within a whole. So, yes, there is that synergy synchronizing principle which is operating. So you hear the terms that maybe Mrs. Eddy didn't use these terms, but the system certainly, it's there. How about life? What do we talk about within a self synergistic principle that is self-synchronizing itself through its feedback control system. What happens then if that identity principle is an information theory, a law which is always evolving according to neg entropy to a higher and higher complexity, always through change because of the law of self-similarity, self-symmetry, self-beauty, but yet there's always homeorasy, stability and change according to a synergistic principle that is bringing out what in being? What is life about? The law of life, as seen by Buchholz. It's a law of inner acceleration, isn't it? It's a self-operating law of inner acceleration, of inner, multiplication that they use there for life. It's exponential growth. It's that law of higher ascending order, spiraling according to the exponential growth, isn't it? In a dynamic flow that never stops. It ties in with synergy. Always, it's a life principle. That's very good. Very good, Dave, because principle is life. Yeah. It's a life principle. Very good. It's fun, isn't it? Aren't we grateful for these new terms? This is where we see in symbols. As we rise, the symbols become more exact to the age. And we love it because this is the language that we see why we do these ascending steps of in being, so that this is our universal science. We want to speak the language of the age. As Dorley says, if we don't, we won't reach where we are today. We want to talk in the exact 7,000-year period terminology. All right, how about truth in the new language of holistic thinking? Dank brought in the superstring theory of hyperdimensionality in being. Well, truth is certainly that whole hierarchical structure today, which is seen as more as a nesting structure, structures within structures within structures, which goes against reductionism. So his superstrings, I feel, fit here in truth because it's the hyperspace theory of dimensions within dimensions within dimensions within dimensions. It's really the gestalts, which is where the whole is greater than its sum of its parts, but within that whole are dimensional and dimensions within dimensions to within dimensions within dimensions. The superstring hyperspace theory. Yeah, the wheels within wheels, Dick. Yeah. I think it's good for truth here. Then we come to love, and love is always then the goal causality, as we said, that the goal is seen from the very beginning, putting first things first, the future is now. And we know that in the Institute of Noetic Science, the work is being done much more today, not as they had seen it, that the past determines the now, as we had in the old schools of psychology of Carl Jung and of the morphous genetic fields that was brought out by our friend Rupert Sheldrake. Even Sheldrake himself is doing research work on how the future determines the now. He sees that his book on morphogenetic work had a place, but he himself has gone on to see how this much more the non-linear is breaking into the linear, and how we live in a world which is spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately coming out of divine origin in a goal causality. Future is now. The future determines what we do now. Isn't that wonderful? Love is the great attractor. Love is a pulling us. And that ended, of course, the 16th chapter where Mrs. Eddy put this, the 23rd Psalm, showing that divine principle, love is our shepherd. We shall not want. Love maketh us to lie down in green pastures. Love prepareth the place for us. And Max gave us that nice structure of that divine principle, love, the 23rd Psalm, in his epitome book on the structure of the textbook, all in the order of love is mine.